Thanks for listening to Schlereth & Evans On Demand, presented by Bathfitter. Hey guys, if you drop the ball when it comes to your bath or shower remodel, Bathfitter doesn't just fit your bath, they fit your budget and schedule. Bathfitter will install a tub or shower in just one day. Bathfitter's price guarantee is a slam dunk. Bathfitter, it just fits.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth & Evans.
So good to think that there are people out there.
You, Tom.
You are.
Tom.
Who wants
it, Tom?
I don't remember.
I don't either.
We want to get rid of this.
Yeah, let's just call it Tom.
What? For what?
Shame on you. So good.
Just turn it off.
Yeah.
Just turn it off,
Johnny. Crank it. Contradiction.
Admit it. No matter where you are, what time it is, and you're driving along and you hear this song come on, tell me you don't immediately think of A, us, and B, Friday, and right. How great Fridays are.
Yeah.
And if you hear this on a Tuesday, you're like, oh, I can't wait till Friday.
Yeah.
Right.
So
right.
All we're doing is training you guys. You're welcome. That's all it is.
It's been a
7-year quest just to train you.
That's right. So I get enough feedback from people on the text line to suggest, yeah, we hear from the folks every once in a while who say, yeah, you got to change the song. But I'm telling you, Mark, it would be an open revolt, pitchforks and lanterns, if we ever change the song. I'm telling you, folks, for you folks out there who don't like it, I'm telling you, you're running like 80-20 opposed. OK,
yes. Yeah, there would be it would be mutiny. There would be they would siege siege the castle. They would just come after us. Cannot happen.
It is an Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest heading off into the weekend. Give me about anything or everything, things that you've picked up on over the week that you just got to get it out there. So we found out yesterday, we heard from one of our listeners, I think it was James in Lexington, that he cooked up 4 pieces of bacon and his wife took 3 of them.
Yeah.
And he was immediately shamed. Shame. Throughout the course of the morning. So much so that there's still leftover shame. I had this waiting for me this morning from Ben in Fort Collins. He says, is it just me, or can we use bacon portions as a grading system for most things in life? Kind of like Mark's milk scale. Not only does Russell Wilson only get 1 piece of bacon, but it's turkey bacon, which is an insult to bacon.
Yeah.
Contrast that with Coach Prime, who cooks multiple pounds at one time, all while yelling, we coming at the pan.
We coming. It's great. Like pounds. How many pounds of bacon is this guy worth?
Right. Exactly. How many strips?
Measure your worth in strips or pounds of bacon. By the way, I almost got myself in trouble yesterday talking a little smack on our text, on our little group chat, and then Gonzaga almost lost. That would cost me money.
You're talking a bunch of smack to me about where I rank right now in the... I'm not gonna read the full text. Were you into your cups last night a little bit or what? That was very unusual for you.
Into
your cups.
What does that mean?
Did you have a few?
Oh, no. I was just telling, we were having birthday dinner for my daughter, and I was telling dad jokes, and, I got a little loose. I got a little loose in the restaurant, telling some dad jokes. I had everybody laughing. Things were smooth. And the next thing you know, the entertainer in me can't stop. Once I get, it's like me at
a show pony.
3.
It's a show pony,
Yeah, I started show ponying, and everybody at the table, some of my daughter's friends and everybody's laughing, and so that's just the green light for me to step over the line.
So I was
a habitual line stepper last night.
So to your credit, you are leading the fan 5K bracket challenge to pick them amongst all the staff. Now you're not first overall, but
I'm close.
But you're not bad actually. The leading scorer has 124 points right now, That would be Sage DC 48. Congratulations. They have 48 right now. But you are leading the fan staff with 116 points.
Yeah.
But you are ragging on me. I'm fifth at 94. Like fifth out of, how many do we have? We have like 15 people on our staff that made picks. So I'm hovering.
Yeah. Yeah. I just.
I still have three of my final four teams. So we're.
Do you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are your final four teams?
Wow. I've got Alabama, Houston. I had Marquette. And I have Gonzaga.
Huh. That's really good. I still have all four of my final four.
Oh, you do? You have all four?
Yeah, I have at Gonzaga, I've got Connecticut, I've got Houston, and I've got Alabama.
Okay. Well, you're precious. Connecticut and I think, if I'm not mistaken, don't Connecticut and Gonzaga play next to go to the Final Four?
Oh, do they? Well, yeah, but they still have all my Final Four teams.
Yeah, but who do you have going to the Final Four out of Gonzaga and UConn?
No, I have Gonzaga and UConn, I believe, going to the Final Four, no?
No, they can't both go to the Final Four.
Are you sure?
I think they're playing next.
They are?
Yes.
Oh. So I lose one of my Final Four teams.
So, ergo, you cannot have both of them in the Final Four.
Oh, well, then I have somebody else in the Final Four. Yes. I do. I have Texas.
Okay. Oh, do you really?
Yeah, I have Texas. That's right. Texas. I've got Texas, Gonzaga.
Let me see if I can look at your bracket here. I think I can bring it up. Yeah, I can. Wow, you do? Look at you.
Yeah,
you
Texas, have all. Gonzaga.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You had Arizona going to the Final Four.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, that was because of Daniel.
Yes. See? Too much Wildcat loyalty right there.
That's what. This is such a good conversation about this pick'em. I don't even know who I have because, and I'm talking all kinds of, all kinds of tish. I don't even know who I picked.
But you are leading right now, so I'll give you a solid. Right now you're leading, so I'll give you four strips of bacon. I'll give you four strips right there. All yours. They're all yours.
Delicious.
All four.
All four are yours.
We ought to increase it to five strips. Like the five. Is it five strips? Is like a lot of strips of.
Like if you sit down.
The house, five
yeah,
strips.
If you sit down and you're just Come like on. Really hungry, you're having like a hungry man breakfast, right? How many strips of bacon is that? Gotta be five, right? At least five?
Yeah. I had an order yesterday. I had an order of bacon. We went to this place called Aroma Cafe. It's awesome. And I had eggs, and I had, and I said, you know, a side of bacon and a side of chicken sausage. And I ate it all. But it was three strips of bacon. I could have housed it. I could have gone two orders of bacon, six strips, and not even thought twice about it.
Yeah, exactly. So let's base it on a five. Five bacon, five strip bacon measuring stick there. All right, we are off and rolling. As you can tell, it's a Friday, so we like to get a little loose a little earlier than usual with you. Plenty of hot takes on the text line, 303-713-1043. Make sure they include plenty of opinions and always humor and always plenty of snark. We jump into it next.
When the day is done, the game is over, and you need a break from all the stress, relax in your tub or shower from Bathfitter. Bathfitter will fit your budget with a price match guarantee. No money down, no payments for up to 5 years. Get the ball rolling. Visit Bathfitter.com today.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Here we go. Got a Is It Just Me Friday here for you, where we give you a chance to get those hot takes off your chest. Get it to us on the Ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. I like this one from TK. Is it just me, or are we going to just gloss over the fact that Mark just admitted to having chicken sausage yesterday? That might not be skim milk, but at best it's 2%.
Chicken sausage? Well, you got to understand.
I don't exactly think of chicken sausage as being the most manly of sausage.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the problem, okay? And I'm just going to go ahead and throw myself on the mercy of the text line. Okay, I'm throwing myself on the mercy.
All right, here we go.
I'm in California. Okay.
Oh, good point.
That's one strike.
He's got a point.
Yeah, I see you're going with this.
I'm in California. And, you know, Californians like to
soft
present themselves as
soft
upper crust. you know, and I'm at a really, just a really, let's just call it a cute boutique.
This isn't exactly a greasy spoon diner.
Right. Breakfast. Yeah. A cute boutique breakfast place where you drop, you know, you get three people and you're dropping $100 on breakfast. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of place. So it wasn't like I had a lot of meat options. I had bacon and chicken sauce. They didn't have patty sausage.
They don't have Jimmy Dean right there.
Or link sausage at this place.
Okay. All right. We'll you've thrown yourself on the mercy of the court, and the court, I think, has ruled in your favor.
Yes, I would. Listen, if there was regular sausage on the menu, I would have had regular sausage. But I had the choice between turkey sausage and chicken sausage. That was my only two sausage choices.
All right, fair enough. Let's get to some more. Is it just me? Is it just me, or can the Avalanche make it two games without another injury? Yeah, boy. The bug continues. Evan Rodriguez went out the other night. We didn't have Artturi Lehkonen in the other night. But it still looks like it's trending towards getting most of or all these guys back at least by the start of the playoffs. So that's really all I care about. I do not want to use injuries as an excuse until we actually get to the playoffs and look around and see who's here and who's not there.
Yeah, that's fair, but how many of these are serious injuries? Like if it was the playoffs, would these guys be playing?
I see what you're saying. Yeah,
you know, like there's end of regular season. Let's get the guy a little bit of time and let's get him some recovery, and then playoffs. They're two different levels of injury here, or levels of importance. And they're at that place right now where they can afford to say, hey, the guy's a little bit banged up. Let's give him the night off. Kind of a different, like, it's a little bit different.
This is a very well thought out text. This is great. This is why our 6 a.m. texters are the best. It's Brandon in Washington writing in. Mm-hmm. Is it just me, or is games like last night what separates college basketball from college football? That because everybody technically has a shot at the title. And it has kept a guy like Mark Few from leaving a program he would have had to have left 20 years ago if he wanted a chance at a title. That's an excellent point. Because look at what goes on in college basketball. Look at the programs. Look at Gonzaga. They're there every year. Look at Kansas State this year. Look at Florida Atlantic. Mm-hmm. Terrific games last night. But it's true. It's not the same teams year after year after year. You can have some variety when it comes to the Final Four. Now, yeah, when you go down and look at all the list of champions, there does tend to be a certain theme to the schools that win it all. Sure. But at least you got far more chance. And I hope that that's the path we're going down in college football, that it's going to start to get I was almost going to say watered down. That's not the word I want to go. But that it becomes a little bit more spread out so that more teams have a chance to compete. So that you could have a 12-team college football tournament and legitimately make a case that the team that is seeded, let's say, eighth, has a chance to win it all.
Yeah, how much is that is the one-and-done rule? So the blue bloods are getting the one-and-doners, right? And Gonzaga's got guys that have been around for a while, guys that have been part of the program for a while. Like college football, yeah, everybody's got to stay through their junior year, right? So you have that built-in, let's call it stability, of your good players are around for a while. And, you know, obviously the big programs, like, it's equal. Like, I think come tournament time, and, like, I don't know anything about college basketball other than, you know, like, my strategy for picking teams where I want to pick teams that I know the coach has been there for a while and I know that the players have been there for a while when it comes to college, you know, when it comes to the tournament time, because I think that's important. I think that's stability, and having guys that have been around and played together and been through some tough times together, I think that's, you know, I think that's viable. I think it's important. College football, everybody's on that. that program. You know what I'm saying?
Did you get a chance to watch I know you saw some of the Gonzaga-UCLA game. Did you see any of that Michigan State-Kansas State game? That was awesome.
It was
awesome.
The kid who had, what 20 points and 18 assists and first time that's happened in NBA or college since 96. That kid, whatever his name was, I can't even remember his name, but he was phenomenal. It was great, man. That was a great game.
That was great theater. Just back and forth, big play after big play. Yeah. Can you top this? How about the play you're talking about, the point guard for Kansas State, Marquise Noel.
Noel.
He's from Harlem. And so that was imagine a kid growing up in Harlem. You're 5'8", 160. You're playing on the playground your whole life. You go off to Kansas State to play college basketball. How could you ever even dream that you're playing for a chance to go to the Final Four at Madison Square Garden? And boy, did he respond. I love the play where he's out around midcourt and he's looking over to his coach and he's gesturing. The coach is gesturing.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they're arguing, and he just lost like a 40-foot perfect alley-oop for a dunk. I was like, that's good stuff. And back and forth, it was just, 98-93.
I'm actually watching the highlight right there for the reverse jam with him talking to the coach. And, they're like, it's awesome. He had great vision. I tell you, it was it's just awesome, man. And you could tell that those guys and that squad have played together, just like Michigan State. That's why I had, and that's one of the reasons I always take Sparty deep, because I just know they played together. You know, I know there's some continuity there from their coaching staff and everything else. I don't know. I think that's important. And you don't have, come playoff time, you don't have, in college football, you don't have one and done schools, right? So all those schools have that. There's no advantage there. There's nobody that's got, more tenure, if you will, playing wise.
To your point and to the Texas point about it, Kansas State is one game away from going to the Final Four. They were picked to finish last in the Big 12.
Right.
They were picked to finish last in the Big 12, and now here they are with a chance to go to the Final Four. Hey, coming up next Thursday, we are holding a very special fan VIP event where you can mingle with us, the fan hosts, and catch an exclusive early screen of Air. The movie doesn't open in theaters until April 5th, but you can see it early and have a great time hanging out with some of your favorite fan hosts. Mark and I will be there. Nate, Zach, D-Mac, Derek Wolf, to name a few who will be there. We'll be giving away four VIP seats right now, giving away four VIP seats to join us at the event. So caller number four right now, 303-713-1043, 303-713-1043. Operators, mainly Fever, standing by to take your call. Good luck. Morning Brew is next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Here we go. Good morning, everybody. The Broncos new ownership group is doing a stadium survey with season ticket holders in which they're asking a bunch of different questions about how they would feel about a new stadium, a mixed-use stadium, which would involve all kinds of restaurants and shops and perhaps the possibility of a dome or a retractable roof. How far people would travel to go to see a Bronco game? All these questions being asked by Broncos ownership. Mark, what does that tell you about what ownership wants to do long term when it comes to this stadium?
Well, I mean, you know what? One thing I know about Big Pockets is they didn't buy the Broncos to not make money. So they're doing it the right way. We've seen them spend. They're not afraid to spend. But it tells me that they understand to continue to increase the value of the franchise and take it from the 4.whatever billion they spent on it to the next level, $5, $6, $7 billion. They're going to need a multi-purpose stadium, something that they can have, something that they can own and something that they can have year-round, something they can have Final Fours there. They can do those things. So they understand that, and it's only a matter of time, Mike. They've got 10 years left on the lease. There is going to be a new stadium in Denver, and it is going to be, I have to believe it's going to be a retractable roof, multi-use, Bronco Town, whatever you want to call it, and it's going to be glorious.
I'm curious, for those, I know we have season ticket holders that are listening right now, I'm curious if you are a season ticket holder and you received that survey, what were you voting? What kind of feedback were you, the season ticket holders, giving? Because a large part of what you say is going to help frame this conversation and maybe frame the decision. So I'm curious, for those season ticket holders out there, what have you been telling the new Bronco ownership?
Real quick, I did a game this year in Indianapolis, Mike, and it was, you know, an October game, and glorious sunshine, but it was chilly. You know, it was like 45 during warmups and stuff, and they opened up that roof, and I was down there pregame, you know, talking to some coaches and it was glorious. It was awesome. And the whole time I was there, I was just thinking, man, Denver, like, you could have that snow game. You could have that December game with the roof opened up. Like, our fans would love it. They would love it.
But you know what you also do? I think we go too far in romanticizing the idea of football should be played in the elements. Well, those same elements cost you a Super Bowl, okay? Let's not kid ourselves. That bitterly cold night against the Ravens cost the Broncos a Super Bowl. That was not the conditions that a Peyton Manning can play in and flourish in, and he was a shell of what he normally was. The offense was a shell of what they normally were, and it cost them a Super Bowl. They would have won. They would have won that game. If you were playing with the roof closed that night, the Broncos win that game, they go on to win a Super Bowl. So it... Just be careful. You want to, but that's the perfect thing about a retractable roof. You can have the game in the elements, but then decide, yeah, that's a little bit too much. Let's close the roof. Let's give our team the best chance to win. Let's give our fans the best chance to enjoy the game. Because I'm sorry. I cannot believe that all of you who were at that game that night look back on that and say, that was enjoyable.
Yeah, that one. Now, that one was...
That was a fine viewing experience.
Right. That one was so cold. That was miserable.
All right. Next on the Morning Brew, the Broncos signed a running back yesterday by the name of Tony Jones Jr.
Oh, yeah. Tony Jones Jr.
What do you know about Tony Jones Jr.?
I don't know much, but I've seen him. I've obviously seen him play. I've prepped for him. He's been a backup guy, but, you know, every time I've watched him play, which isn't a whole lot, I haven't studied him a whole lot, runs hard, plays hard, special team, like one of those contributor guys. So, good. I mean, he's a good football player. Every time I've watched him, he's been good.
Yeah, he's only got 67 career carries. He was with Seattle last year after 3 years in New Orleans, but he was drafted by Sean Payton, and at least in 1 year, he played in 11 games, carried the ball 54 times. But yeah, this is somebody that
I did a game last year where he actually, you know, in Seattle, where he's on the roster, and he got, because they had so many running back issues with Perry, Penny, who's always hurt, and a couple other guys who got, you know, who got hurt there. They had that great rookie last year in Seattle who got dinged up and missed some time. So I actually saw Tony Jones Jr. play a little bit last
year.
Well,
he is now a Denver Bronco. Next on the Morning Brew, it comes to an end for DU hockey. There will be no repeat back-to-back championships.
Number 4 seed Cornell knocks off the number 1 seed, the defending national champion, Pioneers, 2-0 the final. Cornell gets 2 goals in the first, and they hang on to win it by that same score. And for 2 consecutive games to end the season, the Pioneers unable to generate a goal.
Yeah, Jay Stickney there with the call as the Pioneers picked the wrong time of the year to get into a scoring slump as their final 2 games of the season. They lost to Colorado College in the conference tournament 1-0, and then they lose to Cornell last night 2-0. So there'll be no repeat for the Pios.
Yeah, that's too bad. That's disappointing, right? But you mentioned it the other day, man. What a great program they are. They're always in it. They're just a phenomenal program.
But no excuse here, because both teams had to play in it. But what a terrible, terrible atmosphere. I can't even use the word atmosphere. That's an insult to atmosphere. They played this game in Manchester, New Hampshire, the Manchester Regional. And Mark, I'm not kidding. There may have been about 800 people in the stands.
What are they doing in Manchester? Well, I've been in Manchester in the spring like this. It's miserable. Well, what are you going to do? Go counting, and watch a hockey game.
Yeah, well, they were counting on the fact that Boston University is in that part of the draw. So they're counting on the idea that BU will, and BU did win. And so now BU will play Cornell. You got a couple of Eastern schools. You got BU, who's only about, 45 minutes to the south. So there'll be a ton of BU fans there, which is no consolation to DU. But just a flat, dead atmosphere. But it there exists for both teams, and the Pioneers are done. They lose 2-0. Next on the Morning Brew. So Gonzaga trailing. They had just had Drew Timmy miss a couple of free throws.
He was shooting the free throws like Ray Finkel kicks field goals. It was awful.
Timmy! Misses a couple of free throws. UCLA is up one, and then this happened.
Walker for the lead. And Gonzaga survives. They're going to the Elite Eight in a thriller.
Let's not put any blame on Drew Timmy. He was. I don't know why that always gets me. He was the show for Gonzaga last night. Check this out. So in a 79-76 game, 79 points for Gonzaga, Timmy scored 36 of the 79.
Mm-hmm.
He took 24 of the team's 64 shots. And they rode Drew Timmy to a 79-76 win. But the game of the night, the game of the tournament, really, was Kansas State in overtime beating Michigan State 98-93. That right there, and I've heard some complaints throughout the course of this tournament. You hear it a lot during the course of the NCAA basketball tournament, that for all the pomp and the circumstance and the bands and the cheerleaders and all the atmosphere that surrounds college basketball is great. But it masks the fact that the actual basketball itself is not very good, which is true. The basketball itself isn't very good. But last night, that was tremendous basketball. Both teams playing at an exceptionally high level.
Those two games were not good. They were great games.
Great games.
It is. One thing I love about tournament time is you can be like me and not pay attention to college basketball all season long, and you can fall right into tournament time and enjoy the crap out of it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That Michigan State, Kansas State game, that's why you watch sports. That right there. A game like that, occasionally a game comes along that you watch, you're like, okay, that's why I love sports. That's why it's the greatest unscripted reality show that there is. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. It's an Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get those hot takes off your chest with plenty of snark. Next.
Larith and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
On an Is It Just Me Friday, getting a lot of response to the question about this survey that went out to season ticket holders, Broncos season ticket holders from the new ownership group about a possible new stadium. All kinds of questions about would you be open to a dome stadium, open air stadium? How far would you travel to go see a game? Do you want a mixed use stadium? Do you want a standalone stadium? Are you okay with a bunch of shops and a mall type atmosphere, a mini town surrounding that stadium? What kind of amenities mean the most to you? So asking some of the season ticket holders out there who are listening to share what they said. This one, been season ticket holders since 1969. I said, put the stadium out east, surrounded with restaurants, hotels, and other entertainment venues that can be patronized on non-game days. Has to be a retractable roof so we can get a Super Bowl and Final Four. I said I would drive up to 45 minutes to get to the stadium. That's Chris in Denver. Okay, so that's good. I like that. That's good to hear that somebody who's been a season ticket holder that long is absolutely open to the idea of moving the stadium out of downtown. Another one, I voted against any changes because they'll increase the price to us. The longest sellout streak holders of more than 50 years group will focus on the product.
What?
Wait a minute. He'll focus on the product, the team, fill up the existing stadium. All right, I lost him there at the end.
I mean, they're going to increase the price regardless. That's how the economy works. So the price is going to get increased. That has nothing to do with anything. You know what? And there's a waiting list for the sellout. So you want to give up your tickets because you think it's overpriced, or you don't want to. Somebody is waiting in the wings to pick it up. The sellout won't go away. That's just part of doing business. And Big Pockets got enough money to fund a lot of it on their own. So I don't buy the whole, I don't want to, we shouldn't have to pay. No, it's part of the deal.
Some more build a new state-of-the-art stadium ASAP. Another one, as a season ticket holder, I want a retractable dome in the Ehlich's current space. Build a new state-of-the-art stadium. I want it all retractable roof, multi-purpose hotels, restaurants, picnic areas. I can't wait till it happens.
Dude, I remember going to New England back in the day, and, you'd leave Providence because you'd find a Providence, and you'd stay in Providence, Rhode Island, and then you'd bus up, and it's a little two-lane, it's not a highway. It's a
Route 1.
Yeah, and it's a little two-lane deal, and you're in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden, there's the stadium. And now you look at Gillette and what they've created, and they built Gillette in the same area. But now it's there's a huge highway, and there's all kinds of infrastructure, restaurants. It's awesome. And, it's the urban sprawl kind of, if you build it, they will come theory. And it's incredible what they've been able to create out there. So, like, everybody is doing that, and I just think it's the way it needs to be done.
The suggested pricing was outrageous. Yeah, they're even talking about the idea. They even floated the idea of personal seat licenses, where you pay for the right to pay for a seat.
Right. Oh yeah.
So understand this. There is a new stadium coming. It is going to be state-of-the-art, and it's going to be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go to a Bronco game, it's going to be expensive. Long gone are the days where you could go into Mile High and bring your lunch with you and, sit there and take out your little cooler and, eat right. Sandwiches at halftime.
It's over.
Those days are a distant, foggy memory.
Right. History.
Going to be expensive. But you know what? And it does suck, because some people will be priced out. I understand that, and that's mm-hmm. that's going to be too bad. But the supply is the demand is going to be there. The demand isn't going anywhere. What, they got 50,000 people on the season on the waiting list?
Yeah. Oh. But that multi-use stadium, man. Dude, with the covered and all the different things that could come, like we talk Super Bowls, Final Fours, the Combine, the Draft, it would be tremendous, be great.
Please don't make it the Aurora Broncos. Come on, that don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up in you. How many stadiums around the NFL are truly downtown?
Yeah.
I mean, you travel all around. How many of these stadiums are truly downtown? How many of them do you travel outside of the city for which they're named?
Right.
To go see them play. San Francisco 49ers are in Santa Clara.
Yeah, they're out in the middle. Everybody
Buffalo's out in the middle of nowhere. Commanders are out. New England's out.
Yep. I'm trying to think. If the Carolina Panthers are downtown, and you know what they're trying to do? Move the stadium to South Carolina. They're trying to move their facility out in South Carolina, and then traveling. But yeah, they it's not a great setup. And again, it comes down to how much more value can you add to your franchise, and then what kind of hotels, restaurants, and like all the business aspect of it that you can get into. That's just another huge revenue stream for ownership and convenience for football fans. And then it becomes a destination place. Like all the you have a rival, the Raiders come in, or the the Chiefs come in. Everybody stays in that area. It just is. It's I just think it's a cool thing, man.
Look, I get it. I know that there are natives around here who hate what has happened to this city and this region and how far it's gone down the road of expansion and growing and urban sprawl and all that, and you pine for anything that will help keep it small town Denver. Those days are gone, okay? Go skiing. If you love to go skiing, I went skiing last week. And it was, I was surrounded by, Texans and, Floridians and, you know, people from all over the place coming here. Secret's out, man. Secret's out. Genie's out of the bottle. You know, people know how great this city is, how great this state is, what makes it the best state in the country. I'm telling you. And so, you know what? Embrace the big timeness, you know, don't hide from it. Don't try to scurry back into the corner and hope that you can, you know, put the toothpaste back in the tube. It's done. It's out. So you might as well embrace the fact that this place is so special. Make it big time. Make it a destination spot. Get the biggest events out here. And truly make Denver, Colorado, a place that people around the country go, man, I want to get a taste of that. The Super Bowl's there. I want to be there. The Final Four's there. I want to be there.
You know, I think it would be like one of those situations when the Super Bowl was in Indianapolis years ago. You know, and you remember that you were there that week, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
It was glorious in that little downtown. They had heat lamps everywhere you went, you know, on the sidewalks, and the weather was just spectacular. It was not a good week. It was a chamber of commerce.
Friendliest people.
Oh, it was
friendliest
awesome.
Super Bowl. They handed out those Super Bowl scarves. People were so nice. And here I am walking around downtown Indianapolis in February, and I'm as happy as can be. I'm in Indianapolis, Indiana in February, and I'm having a blast.
Yeah.
In Indianapolis.
They just did such a phenomenal job with it, and I know that Denver, Colorado would absolutely show out.
Oh.
Just show out.
Trust me. You build it. Talk about you build it, they will come. The Super Bowl, the Final Four would become part of the – Denver would be part of the rotation now. You know, just like they talk about, you know, Indy and Arizona and Miami and New Orleans, Denver would be it. Denver would be one of them. There's no doubt in my mind. Okay, four down territory coming up next.
When your team is in hot water and you need a break from the play-by-play, Bathfitter can install your tub or shower in just one day. And just like a coach, Bathfitter is in your corner offering a watertight, seamless wall. A design consultant will take accurate measurements of your tub or shower and recommend the products that fit your budget. Bathfitter has special financing available with no money down and no interest for up to 5 years. Now that's a game changer. Visit bathfitter.com to book your in-home consultation. Bathfitter, it just fits.